Hi, welcome to the Hotwire podcast. We are talking all things wellness today. I'm Kristen Wedick, our head of people and culture for the North America business, and I have with me Nikisha Maddox. You want to give a little intro?
Yes. Hi, I'm Nikisha. I'm a director specialized in executive comms. I also am the team lead for our wellness committee, and I'm a certified health coach as well.
Nikisha and I have been here a long time. It's almost 9 years, and Nikisha, almost seven?
Almost seven, yeah.
And wellness has come a long way at Hotwire. I'd say it's shifted over the years what it looks like, and in more recent years, certainly become a big priority as it relates to our culture and the feel here. So we're going to tell you a little bit about wellness and sort of what it looks like at Hotwire, but also just talking about wellness in the workplace in general. I think we can both agree that it's definitely become, since the pandemic started, a big focus for our employees. It's something we hear about from candidates. They're looking for how companies are prioritizing wellness. But I would say that we, while we've done some really great things, and you especially in leading the wellness committee, we still have a ways to go. And I think we know that this is a journey we'll always be on. Do you want to maybe start to talk about how wellness has looked at Hotwire and sort of the genesis of the wellness committee?
Yeah, for sure. When I started about 7 years ago, I don't remember wellness really being a point of conversation or a focus area. I know I was fresh out of college. I felt a lot of pressure to, you know, show up 100% all the time, prove myself, all of that. I think things that most people feel, especially starting a new job and early in their career. Definitely over the years started to see more of a focus on wellness. I remember I started a Slack channel for wellness in 2018, just as like a personal passion project to see, you know, who wants to receive all of these weird little articles I'm reading and really just talk more. It was spurred also from, you know, we started to hear more about it from our leadership. I remember our CEO at the time talking about mental health, her own journey with mental health and wellness at work at our company offsite. And it really, a lot of conversations continued from there of it being a big focus area for the company. So since then, it's been a pretty fun journey to see everything growing and more people getting involved with conversations about how important this is. Our Slack channel now has 86 people, and I think that's about 12 shy of our full North America team. So that's very exciting. And we've formed this wellness committee over the past few years and really formalized it over the past, kind of given it a bit of a revamp over the past 6 months of, you know, how do we want to reach people? How do we want to work with them? What does wellness look like now post-ish pandemic? And, you know, how do we keep reframing and growing? So it's very exciting to, and, you know, both of us have been on that the whole way through, which is very cool to see.
Yeah, well, I love that you brought up. So our old CEO, Barbara Bates, she was infamous for this bring your whole self to work feel. That's how she wanted Hotwire to feel. And back in, it would have been 2018, she had given a talk during a company meeting. We were all together globally, and she had talked about some challenges that she had had with mental health. And it was really the first time I'd ever seen a leader be so vulnerable. And I think the response was amazing. The next year, I believe it was, we had put out a bring your whole self sort of digital book of different stories that people within our business were telling as it related to mental health or challenges that they had. And it really just made the feel and the culture at Hotwire, you know, much more accepting and open for people bringing these conversations to the table. And I think that that's really true of most companies now. They're starting to evolve, and it's less leave it at the door and more, you know, we understand this is a part of your life and it does impact productivity. It impacts how you're feeling, your engagement, which impacts your retention and whether you want to be here. So companies are really starting to understand this can't be left out of the conversation. And then in 2020, during the pandemic, remember, we were looking for a way to build connection within the team and to also remind people to take care of themselves with all these crazy things that were happening in the world at the time. And we kicked off our first, what we called the Hot Mess to No Stress Challenge, which was really around a group competition. Everybody was put into teams, and it was how many wellness related activities can you pile on basically in the month? And it wasn't just things like working out or eating healthy, but reading a book, taking time for yourself, taking a pause, taking a break, really rewarding and trying to build excitement around doing those things. And at the time, I think that was perfect for what we needed. We needed a team element, build that connection back. We were all remote and having sort of a shared goal of wellness across the team. That was great that first year. And then, and that second year we looked at it, and you were a big part of building it, knowing that we had built some of that connection back. Not everybody wanted to be put on a team. Some people wanted to just participate. And so do you want to talk a little bit about how that evolved that year?
I came at it from a fresh lens that second year too. I had started right before the pandemic, fall of 2019. I started my certification program for becoming a certified health coach. I did it fully out of a personal interest, but really eventually started to trickle into those insights that I could bring to this team and to, my role as a leader, as a manager. But that second wave of this challenge was from my eyes, from our team's eyes, was do people want to be in competition about wellness? It was really served its purpose, like you said, in 2020 of like people needed camaraderie and you needed people around you and you needed to join those Zoom calls and like, have some fun with people. But then, did it feel good to be competitive about wellness? Does it feel good to say, I had more wellness than you because I read 10 more pages or I went for a walk?
Hindsight, a little later.
Yeah. And so, so we started to just think like, how do we open that up and do a little bit of both? That year we made it optional. So we said, yes, absolutely. We have a lot of people on our team, and I'm sure lots of people in our industry and definitely in the agency world. Like, people are very competitive. They like to have fun. They like to win points and things like that. So we kept that as an option, and we had about a 50-50 split that year of people who decided to compete versus people who followed along and had a little bit more of a self-guided approach. And to us, that was very successful. I was very happy to see that. I was bringing more of the coaching lens in of, not just how do we tell people what's good for them, but how do we help them find what's good for them and figure that out themselves and really empower themselves to do that on that journey on their own. I think that's a lot of where we've come over the past several years of overall our company shifting into that space and like people and culture really approaching wellness from not a, this is what employee wellness is, but how can we help you, find it for yourself and empower you to get what you need.
I mean, that's really true of the entire work experience. I mean, people, they want the option to choose whether they're in the office or not. They want the ability to be autonomous in the things that they're doing. They want levers that they can pull if they want them, but they don't necessarily want to be forced to do certain things. They want more benefits options so that they can pick and choose what feels best for them. And for some people, wellness is really centered around the thing that makes them feel best is eating right or working out or taking more of a physical approach. And for other people, it's around utilizing the mental health resources or the medical benefits that we have to see a therapist or someone who can help them deal with what's going on in their lives or just have someone to talk to. And for other people, it's about making space for communities within the organization. We rolled out Empowered Societies this last year, which are safe spaces for people within certain communities, be it people in our LGBTQ community or people who want to talk about mental health or have a disability and want to talk about what that feels like in the day to day, or people of our ethnic communities here. They're societies that are really meant to be what those communities need them to be. It's an individualized approach, and you don't have to join. You can if you want. It's there if you want the option. So I know we did this year this spring focus, which looks a little bit different than what we've done in the past. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So historically, we've done our focuses, our challenges in the fall. When we reached the fall of 2022, we realized it was just not the best time. We had always done it in the fall, but it was a crunchy bandwidth time for a lot of our teams. We had a lot of client things going on, and we decided, let's hold off. Let's get through the holiday season into next year and really reset going into the new year. So we got into about January, February of this year, and we ran a survey to really understand what are people looking for in their wellness journeys? What topics does it include? Like, what are they wanting to talk about at work when it comes to wellness? Is it financial, emotional, physical? Is it stress? Is it burnout? Is it like, what are those things that they really consider as part of this discussion? And also, how do they want to go about it? Do they want to hear from us, resources? Do they want to hear from their managers? Do they want to hear from leadership? Do they want to be in competitions and in teams, or do they want to do this themselves? Overwhelmingly, we found it was a lot of people really wanted to have a self-guided way of going about this with by doing that alongside other people, alongside their peers, and with some support, some recommendations, some things that they could try out. So we switched it to what we call a focus. So our spring focus, around spring cleaning and around re-engaging your wellness. We focused through 3 weeks on different topics, on thoughtful working, which is our, Hotwire kind of principle, and fluidity and really helping, your work for you. And energy management and those types of things, giving people prompts, asking them, what did you do to manage your energy? What did you do to give yourself kind of a self-care moment? What are things that people are working on? What's challenging for you? Like, how do we kind of share and knowledge share, so that people feel inspired and that they also feel like they have a sense of community without feeling like they're required to do any certain things along the way.
And that's, I mean, I feel like that's really just the approach we're taking is continuing to assess what the team needs and then evolve from that, providing resources, because wellness and mental health have been more at the forefront of conversations than they ever have been before. It's also about equipping managers with understanding what is their place in navigating these kinds of conversations. We are just leading a few trainings now around building and managing in a mentally healthy workplace so that the team understands what are some triggers they should be on on watch for, what's their responsibility. And really it's about, again, taking an individualized approach, not making assumptions about what somebody might need, but just making sure they know what resources are available to them. And so I would say, in partnership with you, as we look at leading the wellness committee and the activities that we do, Hotwire's journey is going to continue to evolve. That's really our way of business anyway, being really agile to what the market needs, but being agile to what our people need and being able to pivot when it makes sense, not trying to force the same things over time if they're just not working or they're just not going to tailor to, what the team really needs from their workplace. So, I know that's my approach, leading people and culture. I know, in partnership with you, that's the committee's approach as well. And overall, I think we're just going to continue to see wellness be something that our employees want to talk about, our candidates are looking for in their future employers. It'll just continue to be part of the conversation now.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I think it's an exciting new part of the evolution of everything. It's definitely, we've seen it evolve over the past, 5 years, like we talked about, from that top down of, leadership really establishing those this as important. What I'm excited about is like seeing it also work its way bottom up of new people joining and new people starting fresh careers and prioritizing it then.
Yes.
That's amazing to see and very, very cool. And I think amazing that we have those trainings too of how managers, how leaders can help people, from the get-go. So I'm excited about that.
It's a really interesting perspective because the people, the generation coming into the workforce now, will never have experienced that whole leave it at the door, don't bring it into work sort of mindset, which is going to force, older generations, people who've been in their career many more years to adapt to what the new workforce needs. So thank you for sharing your perspective and for joining us in
Yeah,
this
of course.
conversation around wellness. If you want to learn more about Hotwire and our insights, you can visit us at hotwireglobal.com, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.